Hey, Songtown, I'm Clay Mills here with Marty Dotson.
Woohoo!
We're going to talk about something today. We get this a lot in Songtown where our members will email us and say, I played this song for a publisher. They said it's a good song, but they didn't do anything with it. They didn't want to take it. They didn't want to pitch it. And then they play it for another publisher and they say, oh, it's a good song, but it's not moving that dial to make them want to get motivated to sign the song, to pitch the song. And so I thought we could talk about that. I mean, for me, the first thing I think of is that you can write a song that's technically everything about it is correct. Yeah. I mean, a perfect song technically, but it still is missing something.
Yeah.
It's missing a little bit of heart and soul. And, you know, so I think that's the first thing is to, you need the craft. You need to learn to write a well-written song, but you can't stop there, you know? And you did a class on adding heart to your songs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably, I would say, a good segue from the statement I made as to one reason why a perfect song doesn't mean it's a song that matters to the world, you know, and because it could be missing heart, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think when you hear songs that are missing heart? What do you think it's missing, actually, when we say
you know,
that?
I kind of look at it like you got to give people the reason to care, you know, so they have to feel something so that they care about this song, the singer, you know, whatever's going on. And so, like you said, a lot of times, you know, most of us get to the point where every single song we write is well-crafted, but it's just not always something that enough people care about. And a lot of times when publishers are saying, this is a really good song, and nothing, and they don't do anything with it, what they're really saying is, like, it's good, it's well-crafted, it's got checks off a lot of the boxes, but it's just not making me feel anything. And I think, you know, in that class we talked about how you can use pictures and you can use feeling words to really put more emotion and build up what's going on in the song. But at the root of it, you have to make sure that it's something that people are going to care about in the first place, you know? So every day when I'm writing, I'm asking myself that question. It's like, who's going to care about this song? You know, is it a song about metal detecting? And there's not that many people that metal detect, and, you know, and so it's not going to be have much broad appeal. Or is it a song about love that's said in a way nobody's ever heard and people are going to jump up and down?
You know? Right. Yeah. And it's not just about always the wide appeal element. I think there's also this element of sometimes people write songs. Joni Mitchell said one time that you can't write a great song while you're going through something. You know, like if you just went through a heartbreak, you can't sit down. Your girlfriend broke up with you the day before and you sit down, I'm going to write a great song, because her philosophy was, you're just going to write a whiny song. And people aren't going to care about you whining, you know? So her philosophy is you need some perspective.
Yeah.
So you wait 6 months, you wait a year, and you're looking back and go, oh, that was tough. But look at me now, I'm much stronger. Or whatever it is, you have some, you know, perspective, you have some depth to the song.
Yeah.
It's not just a whiny, you broke my heart and I can't live without you.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that's one of the things.
Yeah. You know, and another thing too can be that maybe it's just not the right timing for an artist. So I had a song one time called I Want to Thank Everyone Who Ever Told Me No.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, this is a great song because all these artists have had rejection, you know, but we couldn't get arrested with that song. And 8 or 9 years go by. And this guy that's an older artist, Buddy Jewell, wins Nashville Star, which is one of the first like singing competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Every single label had turned him down 3 or 4 times. And the song that he wanted to do when he won on the night that he won was, I want to thank everyone who ever told me no, you know? So it was just...
It was perfect timing for that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be not only a good song, but it has to be a good moment, you know, to find someone who feels that intensely, you know, and he wanted to say to all these people watching, ha, 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 you know, you motivated me to keep going by telling me no, you know. So sometimes we can have something that does have heart and it is written really well, but maybe the one artist who would do it just put out an album, and they're not going to be cutting for another 2 years, you know? So there's reasons like that too that don't really involve the song. It's just not the right timing. And I think one of my publishers would always say, you know, you got to have the right song in the right moment. And that's the way I look at it too. It's like, you know, we can't, if you believe in your song and you believe it does have heart and it's well written, maybe it's just not the right moment, and you have to keep your radar up and be aware so that you can seize the moment when it comes.
Yeah. So what's your record for the longest period of from writing the song to when an artist recorded it?
That's probably my record. That's 8 or 9 years.
Wow. I had a Reba cut that was 7 years. And since it was recorded, she cut it the first time, and it's been recorded over 200 times by bluegrass bands, gospel. It was gospel song of the year for a couple of artists. And it was crazy because now the song is well over 20 years and people still record it. So you can have a song that lives on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But for those first 7 years, I was going, does the song suck?
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, and publishers, if you're pitching to publishers, I mean, you got to remember a lot of times that a publisher is, they're thinking next week so-and-so is recording an album, or next month so-and-so is recording an album. They're not thinking about, you know, this is a great song, maybe 2 years from now, this artist can, you know, they're very short-sighted because they've got to get a cut now to keep their job.
Right.
You know, but it's our job to figure out, okay, are people not responding because it's not a great song? Or is it a great song and the timing's not right, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a tough call sometimes.
I've got a song called Born Beautiful that I think is one of the best songs I've ever written. Got the most heart maybe of any song I've written. And I haven't been able to get anybody interested in this song. And it's because it's kind of an artsy, it's got a different kind of form for the song. It's not like a big chorus. It's just very intimate. And you know, so there can be songs too that are just, they're not songs that a publisher is going to get excited about because it's probably not going to make them a lot of money. So if someone ever did cut that song, it's going to be an album cut. It's not going to be on the radio, you know? And so understanding how the business works can help you too. I was mentoring a guy recently and he played me 4 or 5 songs and they were all great. Yeah. I mean, they were beyond good. They were really great. But my question to him was, who would you pitch these to? And he said, I don't know. I thought maybe you knew. And I said, no, I don't know. And that's my problem, you know? And he said, yeah, every publisher I meet with kind of says that. Like, I don't know what to do with these. So, you know, we have to understand that sometimes we're going to write things that are great, but that they're not commercial.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hard to get placed. And publishers are looking for songs that are easy to get placed, you know? I remember one time, one of my publishers, I turned in a song. It was short. It was kind of a little ditty. It was fun, different hook on it. And he was like, pal, I can get these cut all day long. And he did. He walked out and got it cut almost immediately, you know, because it was one of those that was an easy thing to pitch.
Right.
You know, he knew a lot of people were looking for that kind of thing. And it wasn't an art piece that he was going to have to talk somebody into putting on it as an album cut.
Yeah. And Vince Gill said the other day, he said, Not every hit song is a great song, and every great song is not a hit song.
Yeah.
You know, they're often two different things. We have this saying in Nashville, we hear a great song, and we go, that sounds like a Bluebird song. And sometimes it's a knock on the song, you know, it's like, but it's not really. What it really means is, that's a really cool song. It'll go over really well at the Bluebird on a writer's night, but it's just not a hit song, or it's not a song that an artist is going to record, you know, but it doesn't mean it's a bad song. It's a Bluebird song.
Yeah. And I think one of the dangers we can get into is judging our songs based on their success or failure commercially.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important to acknowledge, you know, some of my songs might be great and might never get cut. Some of my songs that aren't so great might get cut. And that doesn't determine the quality of it, you know, because if you have that kind of outward focus of like, I'm depending on them to validate my work, it can be really frustrating, and you're always going to be feeling down about yourself probably because there's a lot of rejection in this business. So, yeah. You know, I try to just judge my song based upon how I feel about it. Am I proud of it? Does it say something that I think's important? Does it say something that I think other people could benefit from hearing? And if the answer is yes to all those, then I'm good about it, you know? And if it gets cut, great. If it doesn't, that doesn't mean it stinks.
Yeah, and that's why in Songtown, we're always telling members that the only way that you can really approach this and be a happy person is every day get up and try to write a better song. Try to write something that inspires you, that gets you excited about writing. And you kind of have to let the chips fall where they fall when it comes to the success of your career. But we know more often than not, if you learn to be a great writer, some good things will happen in your career. You know, they're kind of go hand in hand. So,
yeah, and I think too, don't give the control over your happiness to other people out there. You know, if you're getting up every day and you're getting to write a song with people that you love and you're proud of it and the songs are getting better, that's something to be happy about.
Yeah.
You know, and being happy and staying happy about the process is how you get to success, really, because people who don't do that give up and they quit and never will succeed.
Yeah. I know several times over the past month, somebody would email me and go, I'm quitting songwriting. And it's because they feel like they haven't had enough success at mm-hmm. it. But I mean, deep down, I don't know if any of us, if we're honest, if you're supposed to be a songwriter, you're not going to quit it. You know what I mean? You might stop trying to go out and pitch your songs but you're going to write songs still. We have to, you know, you'll be walking down the street and an idea is going to pop in your head. You're a songwriter.
Yeah.
So thanks to our sponsor, Sweetwater. I get all my recording gear, all my guitars, my keyboards, everything from Sweetwater. Not because they're our sponsor. I have for 25 years. I love them. They're great to us. And check out the show notes. Marty and I have books on songwriting. We have upcoming courses constantly in Songtown. Check out the community. We'd love to see you inside the members area.
See you soon.
Cheers.